fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19. We're going to consider today verses 8 to 14. That's Proverbs chapter 19, verses 8 to 14. Now, in verse 8, we have recorded for us a proverb regarding prudence. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. The expression, he that getteth wisdom, literally, he that possesseth his heart. That is, the person who has control of this vital spiritual organ from which flow the issues of spiritual life, our emotions, our affections, and our volition. The person who can control that is the person who loves his own soul. He loves himself truly. This person will set his heart on making the most of his opportunities, and he'll get the best out of life. And the proverb goes on to say, he that keepeth understanding shall find good. That is, he that values reasonableness or prudence so as to act accordingly, this person will be successful in his life. In verse 9, we have recorded for us a proverb regarding perjury. Now, as we saw in our last study, this verse, which reads, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish, is almost identical with verse 5. The only difference is the verb in the second line. Notice in verse 5 it says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. We have a contrast of this proverb back in chapter 14 and verse 25, which says, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Now, a true witness is in contrast with a false witness, whereas a true witness delivers souls, a false witness destroys souls. And also in contrast with the true witness is a deceitful witness. And so the false witness is a deceitful witness. And I'd like to remind you again, because the Holy Spirit is not redundant. When he repeats something, then it's for emphasis. Perjury is an offense to both tables of the law. One who commits perjury takes the Lord's name in vain. And one who commits perjury transgresses against the law of his neighbor, which says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, strict attention to truth forms a primary point in Christian education. Therefore, that boundary line that marks truth off from error must never be trifled with. Now, the false witness will not be unpunished. He'll not be held guiltless. And he that speaketh lies, or he that breatheth out lies, shall perish. He'll not only not escape the judgment of God, but he'll perish. Now, this word is a very strong word. It means he'll go to ruin. He'll lose oneself in the place where men are separated by death, and that means he'll go to hell. And this is emphasized in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, where it says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In verse 10, there is recorded for us a proverb regarding luxury. Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. Now, the word translated delight literally means luxury. one who gets a delight in living it up, if you please, in having luxurious surroundings and able to enjoy much of this world's goods. Now, the Word of God says that that kind of life is not seemly for a fool, or it's not becoming for a fool. It's not fitting for a fool. A fool is a person who is a moral derelict. And so the effect of luxurious living for him would be to confirm him in his folly and make him brutish in his action. A fool just cannot bear luxury. He becomes by luxury more foolish. And then this proverb goes on to say, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. In the same way, then, a slave who's been kept in subjection, when he's delivered and invested with power, he abuses it and becomes tyrannical. So, in verse 10, a servant to have rule over princes is not seemly. That's not fitting. That's not becoming. It's not right for these things to be. In verse 11, there's a proverb regarding restraint. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The first line, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, may be translated, it is the discretion of a man to be slow to anger. That is, man's discretion makes him long-suffering. Now, long-suffering is a characteristic which is long-tempered. And this is the opposite of being short-tempered. It's a characteristic of a person who does not readily and quickly retaliate against wrong done against it. And so, it says here in this proverb, then, that man's discretion gives him the ability to suffer long under provocation and not hastily retaliate against the person who wrongs him. And so this fits that other proverb, which is not a scriptural proverb, which says discretion is the better part of valor. And then verse 11 goes on to say, it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Well, this just simply means that human dignity is best manifested in forbearance towards the person who wrongs him. You see, a person who exercises forbearance toward one who has offended him and one who is unwilling to confess that offense, one who is unwilling to make that offense right, one who just simply goes on as though he has not really transgressed against you. Well, you see, the person who is able to exercise forbearance toward that kind of a person, his dignity is manifested and his true quality comes forth from his very heart. Now, the Word of God tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, among other things, is long-suffering. And so this grace or this ability to remain undisturbed under provocation and hold one's temper and forbear with him who has sinned against him comes from the Holy Spirit. And consequently, this is a fruit born only by a child of God, because only those who've savingly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ are indwelled by the Holy Spirit and can bear the fruit of the Spirit. In verse 12, we have recorded for us a proverb regarding royalty. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as the dew upon grass. Now, a lion roars, or this word literally means murmurs or growls, when it prepares itself to attack its prey. Now, a lion is the king of beasts. And so, as a lion, which is the king of beasts, roars and growls when it's about to pounce upon its prey, so is the anger of a king. Now, this anger has to do not with outbursts of anger towards someone who has offended him, but it's a general ill humor, a fretfulness. We may not know exactly what causes this, but it's that attitude within that just stirs up within the soul of the king. Well, this kind of anger is as the roaring of a lion as he's about to pounce upon his prey. However, the converse in this passage, in verse 12, says, the king's favor is as the dew upon the grass. That is, a king who shows kindness toward his subjects, brings pleasure and delight and satisfaction, really a general condition of blessing upon his subjects. And so he's not feared as the king whose ill humor begins to express itself as the roaring of a lion. In verse 13, there's a proverb regarding home life. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. There's an Arab proverb which says, three things make a household intolerable. Tack, which is an Arabic word for the leakage of rain. Nack, which is also an Arabic word for a woman's nagging. And back, which is bugs. So, the dropping of rain, the nagging of woman, and bugs make a household intolerable. Well, one of those really here is pointed out, and then another. It says, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. That is, he brings ruin to his father. And it's in the plural, and it may refer to many severe blows that come upon the father as he realizes that his son has become a moral and intelligent derelict. But the contentions of a wife are like a continual dropping. And it behoove all ladies not to be contentious with your husband, because it's like the dropping of water that irritates. And then in verse 14, there is a proverb regarding heritage. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. And this just simply means, first of all, that an ancestral heritage comes to the heirs as a matter of course. And this is right. But a prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. Now, a prudent wife is an intelligent wife, a modest wife, a faithful wife. She's a wife who has true matronly merit. Now, this is a divine gift, and it really is the crown of all blessings. And I can bear witness to this because of the wife that the Lord gave unto me numbers of years ago. God bless these proverbs to our hearts. May we learn their lessons today.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.